Just days before the first strikes, Iranian state hackers pulled off one of the most devastating cyber ops in modern history, seizing a staggering 3 terabytes of top-secret Israeli intelligence. Not just military secrets, but compromats. Files detailing Israel's vast surveillance operations, including deep cover programs inside the United States. And within that trove, evidence of crimes, unspeakable crimes, implicating some of the most powerful people on Earth. This isn't just about war, it's about blackmail, betrayal, and a global house of cards on the brink of collapse. Stay tuned. What's coming next may rewrite everything you thought you knew. Before we dive in, if you're interested in sponsoring this show, please email sponsor@thepeoplesvoice.tv. Our videos attract millions of engaged viewers on X and Rumble. If you're interested in getting your product or service in front of all these people, please email us at sponsor@thepeoplesvoice.tv. According to Mossad, the world isn't just a stage, it's their stage. They cast themselves as the directors, producers, and lead actors in a global psyop, engineered to manipulate perception and advance their agenda. This isn't a theory. They admit to it themselves. It's right there in their official motto. Wage war through deception and trickery.
We create a pretend world. We are a global production company. We write the screenplay. We're the directors. We're the producers. We're the main actors. The world is our stage.
This is Mossad's old office. Its motto from Proverbs 24:6 says in so many words, wage war through deception and trickery.
At the heart of Israel's global deception lies a sprawling web of espionage and blackmail. One that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't just connected to, but a key part of. His VIP network, his mansions wired with hidden cameras, his ties to intelligence agencies, all threads in a much larger operation built on surveillance and coercion. This week, Iranian state hackers accessed a portion of Mossad's classified intelligence files. Among the revelations, what they describe as Netanyahu's personal blackmail archive. Private footage of world leaders and politicians captured through hidden cameras in their homes, along with hacked phone and laptop data. Allegedly, this trove was used not just to control adversaries, but powerful figures both inside and outside of Israel. Such was the devastating nature of the compromat, Netanyahu knew there was no time to waste. This wasn't just a breach, it was an existential threat to Israel's global influence and the shadow networks it relies on. Within hours of the breach, war was declared. Under the cover of preemptive defense, Israeli warplanes launched coordinated strikes on key Iranian military and intelligence facilities. But the real targets weren't weapons, they were people. Senior operatives, data servers, hidden bunkers. Anything and anyone who could possess or leak what Iran had uncovered. Why the urgency? Because if even a fraction of this compromat goes public, if the world sees the true scale of Israel's blackmail operations, their deep ties to Western institutions, their weaponization of paedophilia, and how far they've gone to stage managed geopolitics, the fallout will be catastrophic. This isn't about protecting national security, it's about preserving the illusion and ensuring the world never sees behind the curtain. Let me give you just a taste of the lengths they're willing to go to. First case study, Jeffrey Epstein. The official story says that he died in a New York jail cell, but those in the know aren't buying it, and neither should you. When the heat became unbearable and the risk of exposure too great, they didn't sacrifice him, they rescued him. Epstein was smuggled out of the US under the nose of the so-called justice system and quietly returned to Israel. A high-value asset protected at all costs. It was a masterclass in misdirection. Israel pulling the strings, making a mockery of US law and showing just how deep their influence runs. Second case study, 9/11. Yes, that 9/11. Stay with me, because the evidence we've uncovered doesn't just raise questions, it blows the official narrative wide open. Netanyahu first predicted the World Trade Center would be attacked in his 1995 manifesto, Fighting Terrorism, How Democracies Can Defeat Domestic and International Terrorists. As though that wasn't damning enough, there is video in which Netanyahu chillingly explains the details of exactly what was going to happen on September the 11th, 2001.
I said that the West really doesn't understand militant Islam. So I wrote a book in 1995 and I said that if the West doesn't wake up to the suicidal nature of militant Islam, the next thing you'll see is the militant Islam is bringing down the World Trade Center. Nations, democracies don't go to war easily, and they usually debate and argue before they do. Sometimes they have to be bombed into going to war.
In fact, that's what happened in World War II. All of Europe had been conquered. You had to, America was actually bombed in Pearl Harbor, and that was a pivotal event that opened the eyes of Americans. And once their eyes were opened, they gathered the power that is available in this great free nation, and the result was preordained. I think in a similar way, the bombing of September 11th, opened the eyes of Americans.
For anyone out there thinking, sure, maybe Netanyahu had foreknowledge of 9/11, but he's telling the truth this time about Iran's weapons of mass destruction, think again. US intelligence assessed just weeks ago that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon.
The IC continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003.
Here's the reality. Netanyahu has been crying wolf about Iran's imminent nuclear bomb for over 30 years. Every year, a new deadline. Every year, the world inches closer to war based on nothing but fear and fabrication. Sound familiar? It should. He used the exact same script with Saddam Hussein, feeding the Bush administration exaggerated claims about Iraqi WMDs to push for war. The result? No WMDs. Just endless bloodshed, destabilization, and a legacy of lies.
There is no question whatsoever that Saddam is seeking and is working and is advancing towards the development of nuclear weapons. No question whatsoever. If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region.
Benjamin Netanyahu has publicly said the September 11th attacks have been good.
The truth is, Netanyahu didn't just know about 9/11 in advance. Israel was behind it. And for those willing to go down the rabbit hole, the evidence isn't just circumstantial, it's overwhelming. It's been hiding in plain sight this entire time. We'll break it all down right after this word from our sponsor. Years before 9/11, prominent Israeli rabbis were reportedly preaching about the coming destruction of two major buildings in New York City, claiming it would mark the beginning of the new era of tremendous wars. Some even visited the World Trade Center, telling bystanders to say goodbye to the towers.
In the Zohar HaKadosh, you will find there an extraordinary information. There will be two big buildings in the land of Edom, which today we relate the word Edom to America. And those are the biggest, the tallest buildings in the world. And they will be brought down completely. And that will be the sign of the beginning of tremendous wars that will end only in the coming of the Mashiach. 1 week before, one of the great rabbis in Israel, Hasidish Rabbi, he came with some people, some of his disciples in the car, and they were coming towards the evening. He didn't want to lose the time of Mincha, you know, the prayer of the afternoon. So he said, please, can you stop right here? I want to daven, I want to pray Mincha here. They prayed Mincha with Minyan in front of everybody passing in Manhattan. Where? Right there, near the World Center. After he finished the davening, the prayer, he said, say bye-bye to those buildings because you are not going to see them no more. Say bye-bye to those buildings because you are not going to see them no more.
This was a long-term operation, planned years in advance, with assets embedded inside the World Trade Center and Mossad operatives positioned across the country in supporting roles. Some of them were even apprehended, but their stories quickly disappeared from the headlines.
It began when this woman was watching the Twin Towers burning from her apartment in New Jersey. She noticed three men on top of a van, posing for pictures with the towers burning in the background.
And I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked. I thought it was very strange.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli. They were turned over to the FBI. Sources tell ABC News, during a check of national security databases, some of the men were listed as having had connections with Israeli intelligence. At the FBI, that set off alarm bells.
The FBI needed the answers to three important questions. Who were these men? What brought them to that parking lot on the morning of September 11th? And did they have any advance knowledge of what was going to happen that day?
The men said they were just taking pictures at the time. They said they worked for a company called Urban Moving. The FBI obtained a search warrant for the company's offices.
Two SUVs were filled up with between 9 and 12 boxes and computers.
Not long after the arrests, the offices of Urban Moving were simply abandoned. Almost everything was left behind. In jail, the five Israelis were repeatedly interrogated and given lie detector tests. Stephen Gordon was their American lawyer.
They were asked questions if they had ever been approached by or hired by any non-United States intelligence.
The dancing Israelis were released after 10 weeks and returned to Israel, where they appeared on TV and admitted they had foreknowledge of 9/11 and were in New York to document the attacks.
And at that point, we were taken for another round of questioning, this time related to our allegedly being members of Mossad. The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event.
The entire operation was riddled with inconsistencies, sloppy, rushed, and full of holes. But none of that mattered, because the media and the government locked arms in silence and refused to ask the right questions or release the real evidence. Need a reminder of how absurd it all got? We're told a hijacker's passport miraculously survived the fireball of a jet fuel explosion and floated to the ground, completely intact, right next to the smoldering ruins. Think about that. A passport survives what the black boxes didn't. Then there is the fact that the voices of the hijackers, as played to the world on network TV, was voiced by an Israeli Hebrew.
The voice of the hijacker heard from the hijacked plane's voice recorder reveals that the accent of the hijacker matches an Israeli Hebrew accent.
The next transmission comes seconds later.
FBI Director Mueller, BBC News, and ABC have confirmed that seven of the 19 Muslims whose mugshots were flashed around the world did not die in the 911 crashes. They are alive and well and are victims of identity theft. An eighth accused Muslim died 1 year before the 911 hijackings even occurred. Who stole their identities, and why isn't the FBI looking for them? If the hijackers really were Muslims, why would they steal the identities of fellow Muslims and implicate them? Wouldn't they be more likely to steal Israeli identities and put the blame on Israelis? If the hijackers were Israelis, wouldn't they be likely to steal the identities of Muslims and put the blame on Muslims?
And never forget this overlooked piece of the puzzle. A group of so-called Israeli art students had unrestricted access to the 89th through 95th floors of the North Tower for 4 years leading up to 9/11. Not security personnel, not maintenance, just a rotating crew, some of whom have since been confirmed to be Mossad operatives with explosives expertise, with prime access to the floors that would later be obliterated. Look it up, it's all there. They called themselves E-Team and Gelatin. Yes, gelatin, as in blasting gel. Coincidence? Or a silent warning hiding in plain sight?
Look behind the gentleman in the pink shirt. You're going to see two big bold numbers. It says BB18. Those are fuse holders. Now look at all three pictures and look at how many boxes of plastic fuse holders that can be used for remote control demolition. And ask yourself, why would art students from Israel and Austria be having thousands of fuse holders? This building was built in the early 1970s. They weren't electricians. They weren't redoing all of the electricity in that building. Some of those artists are guaranteed Mossad bomb experts. And that's in the DEA document that you can read.
Why are key documents related to 9/11 still classified decades later? There's only one reason, because the truth is more dangerous than the official story. They're not protecting national security, they're protecting themselves from us, from the fallout that would come if the public ever learned what really happened on that day.
Why is it that 23 years after 9/11, files are still classified? Why is that? I had a friend die in 9/11, like probably a lot of people in this room. I was there, totally changed my life. Why can't I know what exactly happened? It's our government. No federal bureaucrat has the right to tell you that you can't know what your government is doing. Who owns this government? The federal bureaucrat who can't be fired? No, I don't think so. We do. If you wind up in a country with over a billion classified federal documents, you're living in an extremely corrupt country. Extremely corrupt. Everyone around the world knows that about the United States. We don't know it. We don't think we live in a corrupt country. We do. And we could fix it super easily. And that's just, let's declassify it. Every 9/11 document should be declassified. Oh, shut up, conspiracy theorist. No. If you want to create conspiracy theories, pull down a curtain of secrecy over what actually happened. Why are you afraid to tell me the whole story? Why are you afraid to tell me the truth? We can resolve this right away. Just let me see the evidence. I have a right, I have a moral right to it. They have no moral right to keep it from us. So if I have one hope secretly for this administration, it's massive declassification.
With secrets this dark and explosive, it's no surprise they'd rather plunge the world into World War III than let the truth come to light. We must continue to reject the lies relentlessly. The greatest act of resistance is exposing the truth. Here at The People's Voice, we want you to join us in our mission to spread the word and defeat the evil. Subscribe to the channel, tell your friends and family about us, and join the People's Voice Locals community. I hope to see you there. Today's video is brought to you by IPv6ers. Are you a content creator who wants to publish information online without Big Brother spying and censoring your every move? IPv6ers is set to revolutionize the way information is disseminated on the internet by eliminating the need for big tech companies to provide unreliable, overpriced services such as self-hosting, email, and data management. IPv6ers enables an easy and accessible way for you to host your own web and email server with direct end-to-end connections and enhanced security. This means no snooping from Big Brother and no interference from the technocratic elite. If Hillary Clinton can get away with running her own server, why shouldn't you? Go to thepeoplesvoice.tv/IPv6 to sign up, or click the link below this video to take back control of the internet and win the info wars against the globalists. If you like our content, help support our sponsor, IPv6ers, and go to thepeoplesvoice.tv/IPv6 today. Thank you, IPv6ers, for making this video possible.